Would you like to take your seats?
Yeah, definitely you.
As you know, it's the youth leading the evening service today, and obviously youth. You know. First, just like to open with prayer, so if we bow our heads. Almighty God, nothing is hidden from you, not even the secrets of our hearts. By your Holy Spirit, purify our deepest thoughts so that we may truly love you. And bring honor to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Right. I thought we would start the evening with a little quiz. Quiz? No. Oh, no, you've seen the first answer. It doesn't matter. Right. Quiz. Question one then. How many square meters are there in a hectare? Yeah, 10,000. Right. Which country makes Panama hats? Anybody? No? Ecuador. Yeah. Question three. How long did the Hundred Years' War last? Anybody wanna take a guess?
160.
Yeah, but you know the answers. That's cheating. Yeah, well done. Well done. This quiz has been ruined by you. Okay. What is a camel's hair brush made of? You got to take guesses. Come on.
Camel's hair.
Ooh, close. Squirrel's fur. Yeah, not even hair. What colour is a purple finch?
Purple.
Blue, red. I'm getting every colour. Red. Who said red? Put your hand up. Stephen. Well done. Okay, and how long did the 30 Years' Wars last? Ooh. No, 30 years, obviously. Right. Did any of you get them all right? Okay. Did anybody get more than one right? Well, obviously, yeah, just 10%. Anyway, our knowledge is very limited, is it not? Even though we think we know something, we are often wrong. Fortunately, that is not true with our God. God knows everything, and he is never wrong. Anyway, all right, we stand to sing Psalm 139. I've got the wrong one.
One, two, three, four.
I'll praise the Lord with the hands you made. I could clap for you all day.
Rubbish!
I'll praise the Lord with the mouth you made. I could sing for you all day.
I'll praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. I'll praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way.
Psalm 139:14. I'll praise the Lord with the arms you made. I can wait for you all day.
I'll praise the Lord with the feet you made.
I can jump
for you all day.
I'll praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. I'll praise you because you
Psalm 139:14. Right. We'll be Well, this evening is going to be read from Psalm 139. So if you'd like to turn to Psalm 139, which is 628 in the Church's Bible. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And if Andy?
Okay, good evening. Oh, am I on? Yeah? Have I done something wrong here? No? On? Cool, can you hear me? Yeah, cool, excellent. Okay, good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Very encouraged to see so many people out as well. Excellent, fantastic. And it's great to see our young people leading as well. So great there as well, fantastic. As Michael's already said, tonight we're going to be thinking about Psalm 139. So if you could have that open with you, that would be great, because we are going to refer to that as we go through. I'm just going to speak for a few moments on the first 12 verses. Now, Michael's done a little quiz with us already, and from that we have seen that our knowledge is actually quite limited, isn't it? Okay, we can't possibly know absolutely everything. Our knowledge is really quite limited. The world will tell you there must be an answer for absolutely everything. You must be able to find a reason or an explanation for absolutely everything that you see or that you come across, but it is impossible to know absolutely everything. And we've seen that. We've seen that demonstrated in the great quiz that Mike put together for us for this evening. Now then, the world will tell you, because there is an answer to everything, that you know, they'll throw all kinds of things at us to try and work out what the answers are. You know, they'll say, well, science is the way. And we had a great evening last Thursday with a guy who came and explained fantastically the arguments for and against sort of God versus science, which was really good. You know, but they'll throw science at you and say, you know, perhaps young people, particularly in your science lessons, and they'll say, well, science does this, and science does this, science proves this, and actually, well, can you really trust the Bible? Can you really trust God? So they'll throw all kinds of things at you to try and explain things that happen, things that you see, etc. But we're looking at Psalm 139, and Psalm 139 does not paint a picture of us knowing absolutely everything. Instead, it paints a picture of a great God who does, which I think is absolutely fantastic. And as I was preparing this week, I was just absolutely amazed and excited to see how great God is and how awesome he is. Now, we've had the first six verses read for us. Is one of the young people primed to read verse 7 to 12? Is that all right? Oh, fantastic, cool. Thank you very much. Excellent. Okay. So, the first 12 verses are what I'm going to pick out. I want to point to two things. First of all, that God knows and sees absolutely everything. That God knows and sees everything. We see that in verses 1 to 6. And then secondly, the second point I just want to bring out is the fact that God is always with us, or with me, and he surrounds me. And we see that in the verses that Danielle just read for us, in verses 7 to 12. So I just want to take the first one to start with them. God knows and sees absolutely everything. God knows and sees absolutely everything. If we go back, which is why it's good to have our Bibles open, and we start with verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. So verses 1 to 4 show us something of the depth of God's knowledge and understanding of us. And what we see here are kind of pairs of descriptions put together. So, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. So what we see here is the psalmist explaining how great God is, how awesome God is, and how it infiltrates through every part of our life. It's not just a little part that God knows and understands. It's actually every part when I sit and when I rise. Every part of our being, God knows and God understands. So that's verse 1 to 4. Then we come on to verse 6. I'm going to skip verse 5 quite deliberately. Okay, and then we move on to verse 6. What do we see in verse 6? Well, this shows us that the psalmist recognizes how great God's knowledge of him is, and that it's far too great for him to, or anyone to attain. The knowledge God has is too great for us to actually fully grasp hold of. The knowledge God has is far greater than we could ever understand or grasp. Verse 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So David is acknowledging how great God's knowledge is, and that it's far greater than he could ever begin to understand or attain. So God is big, God is massive, God just understands absolutely everything. But I want to come back to verse 5. I want to come back to verse 5 for two reasons. In verse 5, it says, you hem me in behind and before. So the psalmist has begun to show some kind of description of how great God is. And then he comes to verse 5, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. So a question that I just want to ask with verse 5 is, the psalmist being encouraged, or is he being threatened? As the psalmist is explaining here, as he's reflecting, is he feeling encouraged or is he feeling threatened by God? And let me expand those two points just a little bit. Let's start with the fact that he feels threatened or could potentially feel threatened. You see, when you reflect on how great God is and the fact that he knows absolutely everything about you, absolutely everything, and if you don't have a personal relationship with God, that means you're basically going against God. If you don't have that relationship with him, and you read this psalm, and you see how great God is, and he knows absolutely everything about you, surely that must make you feel quite threatened. Because, you know, you're used to doing things your way. You know, when we sin, when we go against God, it's a case of saying, no, God, I don't want to do it your way, I want to do it my way. When we do that, and we go against God, and we actually begin to see here in God's word that he has full knowledge, he knows absolutely everything about us, I would suggest that that would make us feel quite threatened and feel perhaps quite insecure that actually, I want to do things my way, I want to have control of my life, but I can't possibly know everything, but actually God does. God knows absolutely everything. So potentially, you could feel threatened. Because we're going against God. We're going against what God wants. But actually, he knows absolutely everything about us. And the second thing is the fact of feeling encouraged. The fact that he could feel encouraged. And I would suggest that as well, because what David has done here is reflected on how great God is. And he has a personal relationship with God. So we've basically got two kind of descriptions here. We've got a description or a thought of feeling threatened because we don't have that personal relationship with God. We haven't come to that point of accepting Jesus as our Saviour. Or we could be extremely encouraged because we do have that personal relationship with God through Jesus. And as he's reflecting and as he's thinking about how great God is, he says, you know what, God's so great, no matter what I face, I'm hemmed in before and behind. I'm enclosed. I'm encircled by God. I'm protected by God. I'm safe and I'm secure in his hands. So David is reflecting and is encouraged by how great God is and the fact that he is in control of all things, that he is secure and he is safe in him. And if we're Christians here tonight, if we have that personal relationship with him, that should encourage us, I would hope, that we can be found safe and secure in him. So young people, no matter what you face this week, if you're trusting in God, if you have a relationship with him, no matter what you face at school, no matter what your mates might think of you or whatever it might be, no matter what you might face in your sight, in your lessons, whether that's science, math, whatever it might be, whatever opposition you come up against, you can be safe and secure that God fully knows, fully understands, and he is in control of all things. And what David is doing here is reflecting on that and saying, wow, how great is God? How awesome are you, God? Because I'm safe and secure in your hands. Okay. Second point I just want to make very briefly then is the fact that God is always with me and he surrounds me. The fact that God is with me and he surrounds me. And we move on then to verse 7 to 12, which again, we can read there. Verse 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So God is always with me and he surrounds me. Now then, what program is that from? Big Brother. It is Big Brother. I won't ask you to show your hands if you watch Big Brother. But Big Brother has been on TV now for a number of years. And Big Brother, basically, is a group of people in a house that everyone can pretty much watch every single move they make, almost. And Big Brother has gone through a massive craze, and a lot of people that I used to speak to would say, yeah, I've been watching Big Brother. You know, I'm really into it. I can't miss an episode of Big Brother. Big Brother, over the last sort of eight sort of series, have seen 144 housemates. They saw, just a couple of little facts here, saw the most housemates ever in the Big Brother household, with 23 people living in the same house at the same time. 14 relationships in the house over the run have been formed, but only one of those is still actually, the couple are still together. Around 382 cameras have been used to keep an eye on the housemates. 340 microphones and 18,000 radio mic batteries have been used for Big Brother. Why? Because the idea behind Big Brother is that we can see what people do 24/7. And we can use it as entertainment. You see, the world wants to be able to have an explanation and understanding for everything. And they want us to be able to see what goes on 24/7. And Big Brother, some of the idea behind Big Brother was to kind of do that, but to make it entertainment. To try and make that entertainment. But you see, the problem with the world is, and you go through Twitter or Facebook or any other social media, trying to keep tabs on people 24/7, trying to see what people are doing 24/7. But the truth is, we can't know what each other's doing 24/7. We can hide things from each other. Big Brother, if you can see that. World's view of being everywhere is to catch you out, trip you up, point the finger, that kind of stuff. Question, how does that make you feel? How does it make you feel knowing that that's kind of what the way the world's going? That people just want to watch you 24/7 and see what you're doing, wherever you are, walking in the street, wherever it might be. The truth is, no one can absolutely be everywhere with you, and you can still hide things from people. You can hide your feelings, you can hide your thoughts. You don't have to share those things with everybody, so you can hide them. But you see, when we come to Psalm 139, what do we see? We see something a little bit different. And that is that God has a completely different view. God is not looking to catch us out, trip us up. God is not looking to make our life entertainment. But what he does do is love us, and he cares about us, and he does know absolutely everything about us. So those things that we can perhaps hide from other people, we can't hide from God. We see that in the verses before us. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So verse 7 to 9, we see the reality of God knowing us lived out. There is nowhere we can go from his spirit. The first few verses show how great God is. Now we see that lived out. How great God is. The fact that we can't go anywhere from him if we're in him. And then verse 9 to 10 shows that he will guide us. Verse 9 to 10 shows us that he will guide us. And he is absolutely everything that we need. The world, again, will chuck all kinds of stuff at you. Well, if you're not quite feeling up to, you know, if you feel a little bit down about yourself, then try this or try that. You know, try different things out. If you're feeling a little bit kind of perhaps not successful in this area, well, then try this or try that. What the Bible teaches is that God is absolutely 100% everything that we need. And then verse 11 to 12. Even darkness is as light to him. Our God is awesome. Our God is great. We cannot go anywhere without him knowing, without him understanding. And actually, whilst that was a real encouragement to me, that actually quite scared me as well. Because actually, I know there's things in my life that I wouldn't want to share with anybody else. But actually, God knows all about it. God knows all about the things that perhaps I wouldn't necessarily share with anybody else. All my sin, everything else. God knows about it. And despite that, God still loves me. So, the world will throw all kinds of ways in perhaps bigging ourselves up or making ourselves feel better about each other. Things like the X Factor. I don't know whether anyone's watching the X Factor at the moment. I haven't watched this current series that much, to be honest. But it's a big thing. And why do hundreds of thousands of people queue up to do X Factor? To get famous, to get recognised, to feel good about themselves. How many of them succeed? Well, only one can win. But actually, if you look back over the years they've done it, how many of those people are now still successful? How many of those people are still recognised? It's temporary. It doesn't last. The lottery. Despite the fact we've been in a recession, people still buy lottery tickets. Why? Because it's a chance, perhaps, to change their life around, to get the money to be able to change their life around. But actually, how many people win? And how much difference does that actually make to people's lives? You see, it doesn't. The only thing that can is God. And his son, Jesus Christ. So, tonight I just want to leave two thoughts with you from this section. The first is, if tonight you're not saved, tonight if you don't have that relationship with God through Jesus, I would urge you to turn to him, to come to him, to acknowledge Jesus' death on the cross for you. And turn to him and to accept him and to rejoice in the fact that then through a relationship with him, you are safe and secure no matter what you face. But if you do already have that relationship with him, be encouraged. Rejoice in the fact that he is with you. He knows you completely. He will guide you. He surrounds you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, he is always there. The challenge is, first of all, do you have that relationship? And I would urge you, if you don't, put your trust in him. But if you do, be encouraged by the fact that he loves you, he knows everything about you, and you can go into the week ahead and the days to come knowing that no matter what you face, you can have the boldness to face it in Christ. That kind of poses a little question, I guess, and it's what I shared a few weeks ago with the older young people when we were looking at the subject of parties and alcohol. Wherever you are, whether that's at work, at college, school, wherever it is, the question you need to ask yourself, if you're a Christian, in this situation, what would Jesus do? If God is with us every step of the way, no matter what we face, whatever situation we're in, when you're in a situation and you might be facing some difficulty, just ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do here? What would Jesus do? So Psalm 139, verses 1 to 12, great encouragement of the fact that God is great, God is awesome, he knows all about us. We can rejoice in that and the challenge of having that relationship with him so that we can be safe and secure in him. Where is he?
If we can stand to sing, Lord, the light of your love. Jamie will come forward to read Psalms 13 to 18, and then we'll stand to sing, Lord, reign in me.
Precious to me
And now the last part of Psalms 139, Rachel will come to read.
Am I on again?
Yeah, good. Okay, so if you'd just like to turn to that psalm very quickly again. Hopefully you'll have it open. I don't. So, Psalm 139, we've looked at the first 12 verses. And just really just want a brief couple of points on the last, if I can find the right psalm, would help, wouldn't it? Psalm 139. And then I'm going to do something slightly different, which hopefully will tie in with this as well. So Psalm 139, the last sort of section really, what do we see in broad terms? We see two things. First of all, the fact that God planned everything out about me. You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So again, we can be encouraged by the fact that God made us all unique individually. How fantastic is that? How awesome is that? If the world was full of people like me, lots of them, it would be a very, very sad and bad place, more than likely. Okay? And you'd have a lot of clown cars around as well, but apart from that. But yeah, we are all wonderfully made unique. We are all uniquely made, and I think that's just fantastic. So God has planned out everything about me, and also the fact that God is continually leading us. God leads us continually, and we can see that again through the verses that we see. If we flick through past verse 17-18, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast are some of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? I abhor those who rise up against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. And then at the very end, he says something again, which I found really, really challenging. Just look at those words for a few minutes. 23 and 24. That is quite a powerful thing to ask of God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God planned out everything about me and God is continually leading me. And how awesome and how great that is. And God leads us in various ways. And one of the encouragements over the summer was to see that five of our young people actually, but four are going to share tonight. Four of our young people are going to share with us their experience of going off to camp. Christian camps over the summer. A great way to be encouraged, to learn from God's word, and to meet with others who you wouldn't necessarily get to meet and to make new friends and stuff. So I'm going to ask four people, they know exactly who they are, to come up and sit on my sofa, my lovely little sofa here. I'm just going to move this out of the way. And then I'm going to have a little bit of an interview with our four youngsters. So if you want to come and join us up here, that'd be good. Okay, now we've got a microphone here, so you'll need to share it out. I'll hand it to you first. Doesn't mean I'm going to start with you, though, so okay. I might mix it up a little bit. Okay, so tonight we've seen something of how great God is, how awesome he is, the fact that he knows all about us. And we can get to know God better through his word and meeting with each other and all those kinds of things. But one of the ways is going off and camp, you know, going off and meeting with lots of other young people. And you four have been off this last summer, which is great. You went to camps, different places. So I wonder what we'll do is we'll go along and we'll just ask you some questions so that these guys here can get a bit of an understanding of where you've been, what you've done, and perhaps some of the things that you've learned and some of the challenges as well. So, Abby, we'll start with you. Okay. First of all, where did you go and why did you go?
I went to, it was a Scripture Union camp in Brackley called Action Replay. And I went because I thought it'd be a good idea and it would be a good experience, and I hadn't done anything like that before. So.
Fab. Excellent. Well done. Cool. If we move the microphone along. Same question. So, Emily.
I went to the same place as Abby. We went together.
Cool.
And Abby actually invited me along, and I thought it'd be good to go there and meet people.
Fantastic. So you met lots of new people, lots of
yeah.
people you hadn't seen before and stuff. Okay, was there just a few, or was there quite a few people?
There was quite a lot of people. Yeah, there's about 11 people in our room.
Oh, okay, cool. So you
there was cool. lots of people.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well done. Let's move the mic along. Georgia, same question to you.
I went to Wales with my friend Ella because she invited me.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
And where's Ella from?
Shropshire.
Graham, best county in the land, isn't it, mate? Yeah. Okay, cool. Excellent. Well done.
So I went to Marlow on an aqua sports camp, and one of my friends invited me, and I thought it would be quite a good idea, and I could go and do some new things I hadn't done before.
Excellent. Fantastic. If you hold on to the microphone, and then we can go back down the line. Okay, so my next question then. So you've all been on camps. You went for various different reasons, but to meet new people. Some of you were invited by friends and stuff. Which is great. So you met lots of new people. Fantastic. What were some of the highlights, perhaps, from... How long did you go for? And what were some of the highlights from that time, do you think?
So I went for a week, and basically the whole camp was lots of different aqua sports. So we did sailing, windsurfing, water skiing, and all sorts of different things. I think one of the highlights was... we went on a sort of kayak trip to a sort of river that was quite nearby, and there were sort of rapids and things that we went to go down, and we just paddled upstream, and none of us could
cool, fun. Yeah, cool. Excellent.
Ours was like, we was all camping, and we did things like climbing a mountain, like a proper mountain. And,
like a proper mountain? Okay, cool.
We did, like, gorge walking and kayaking and... stuff like that.
Cool, fantastic. So you did lots of activities, a bit like Jamie yourself. Was it just activities, or were there other things that were going on the camp?
In the morning, we all like gathered together and like sang some hymns and stuff. And then we went to like into our tents and we did like Bible studies.
Fab.
And then every evening we had like a service like at church, but it was like aimed for people our age. So.
Oh, cool. Was that good?
Mm-hmm.
Really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done. Okay, Emily. What kind of things did you do on your camp? What did you get up to?
We had these morning like groups where we got put into groups according to like our age.
Okay.
And then we looked at stuff that we'd done the evening before because there was an evening service. And then we got to do two sessions of either like stuff like swimming. You could do rounders and like stuff like that, and then you did all of us went over to a field and we got like gunged and water fights and everything.
That sounds a cool
really
place
good.
To go. I think I should go myself. Cool, excellent, yeah. Well done.
Yeah, Abby. So I mean, yeah, I did all the same stuff as Emily.
Cool.
And yeah, gunge games were fun because they were all like leftovers from the night before. Lovely.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So, some ideas there, Mark, for HBC.
So, yeah.
Cool. Okay, so you've all done a mixture of activities, some really fun stuff, and you've had a mixture of meetings, you know, some Christian meetings and worship times and stuff like that. Excellent. That's really good. Thinking about the teaching now, okay, probably one or two things did you kind of most get out of the teaching? What kind of things did you learn, perhaps, from the teaching that you had?
We were doing James, and it was all about, like, how we speak, how we... we shouldn't judge others and like what others think about us, and it was really helpful because it made us all think that we shouldn't really mind so much about what other people think about us, and
yeah, we don't need to change for other people.
Fab. Excellent. Well done.
It was, like, one of the things was about judging people, like Abby said, and it was really good because by the end everyone was crying because this person told a really good story about he got bullied at school, and yeah, everyone was in tears, and it was all about like judging other people and how we judge other people and how people can judge us.
Sure, okay. Fab. Cool, excellent, well done. Georgia?
Ours was like about how we shouldn't make things like phones and like our friends and stuff more important than God. And because I think everyone could relate to that because we're all like teenagers into our phones and Facebook and all that.
Did you have phones with you on the camp?
No, we weren't allowed.
No, you weren't allowed?
No.
Okay, was that really hard?
Yeah.
It was. Just thought I'd check.
Yeah.
Cool.
So one of the things that stuck out in my mind was via sermon about how it's really easy to go to church on Sundays and you know, praise God and feel really enthusiastic. But then during the week, you sort of forget about God more, and you just get drowned out by everyday life. And so, you know, the sermon was saying, you know, that's not what God wants, and He wants us to pray for Him and get to know Him throughout the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a real challenge, isn't it? And that's a challenge for all of us, I guess, isn't it? Is, you know, it's easy to come to church on a Sunday and to praise and worship God, but actually to do that every day, every moment of our lives in the different situations that we face. And, you know, for you guys as teenagers, you know, it's really tough at school to stand up to that. So, yeah, so you found that really helpful and quite a challenge as well. Excellent. Fantastic. Well, guys, thank you very much for sharing a little bit with us about your time at camp. Did you find it a really good experience? And did you feel it really helped you and encouraged you?
Yes.
Good answer. And would you encourage other young people perhaps to try it out and try it out and see how they get on, and, you know, perhaps this next summer or whatever? So you'd definitely encourage people. Yeah. Cool. Fantastic. Thank you ever so much, guys. Well done. Cool. So that's our young people who experience camps in the summer, meeting up with lots of different people. I know they've all made friends across the country in various places and have kept in touch, which I think is really good, really encouraging. And they've been challenged and spoken to through those camps by the Lord, which again is good and is encouraging as well. So we're gonna finish our time. Our time's coming to an end. And we're going to finish off by singing together Amazing Grace. So yeah, we're going to stand and worship God as we close our service by singing Amazing Grace together.
Amen.
Okay, let's just end our service with a few words from Scripture. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Lord bless you. Bless you. Bless you.